Well, hello there, my brothers and sisters, and thank you for joining in today on our study of the Word of God. We're going to get back into our study of life and find out some more about what life is according to the Scriptures today. I hope that you've been serving the Lord in sincerity and truth. I know that it's not easy, and the Lord said that we're going to suffer tribulation, that we're going to go through tribulations, and that they hated Him, and they're going to hate us. And that's all right, but they don't hate us because of anything we've done to them. They hate us because of who we're affiliated with, and that's the Lord. That's God. God the Son. And that's okay, because we're not ashamed of Him. And we're not going to be ashamed of Him, because we know who He is, and we know Him personally, and we know what He's done for us. I can testify to, I could go on and on and on, and we could just sit here and have an all-night conversation or fellowship about what the Lord's done for me and what He continues to do for me. I would even venture to say that that you that know the Lord have been walking around today and have already thanked Him for something today, haven't you? Of course we have. He's worthy of thanksgiving, and He's real. He's alive, and so is His Son. And today we're going to go back into our study. We stopped. We stopped last time. We was talking about life triumphant. Life triumphant. We began talking about life triumphant in this area of life that we began studying. We began talking about life triumphant over what? Over what? Do you remember some of those? Life triumphant over what? Well, we have life triumphant over sorrow. Life triumphant over the world. Life triumphant over sin. We triumph over sin. Isn't there things in your life that God the Holy Ghost has already helped you to get rid of and dispose of? Some things are easier than others. Some things, when you get born again, when the Lord saves you, they go away right away. But some things it takes years and years and years to, doesn't it? But that's okay. They're on their way out. And when the Lord comes back and He raptures us out of here and gets us out of this place altogether, and out of this situation altogether, we'll be rid of sin altogether. And won't that be wonderful? Life triumphant over circumstances. We have, we're going to have circumstances, whether here, even the unsaved have circumstances, but they don't have any triumph over it. They have their problems, and when the problems get fixed, they move on to more problems. And we have our problems, but we have a God that's behind all of it that cares for us. The Bible says He careth for you. He careth for you. And that makes all the difference in my walk in this life. I don't enjoy this life at all when it comes to just looking at this life without the Lord. The only thing that keeps me going here is the Lord Himself. Isn't it you? Of course it is. I don't know how anybody can live in this world. Well, you look at the suicide statistics and the craziness that's going on in the world today, neither can anybody else. Seemed like they'd be looking for somebody to lean on. Somebody that could back up what they said and would back up what they said about caring for them. Seemed like they'd be running to Christ, doesn't it? Man, people die and go to hell every day, mad at God and hating God, and all He wants to do is help them. That's all He wants to do. Life triumphant over circumstances, and then life triumphant over death. We don't have to worry about death. We don't have to worry about it. We don't have to fear it. All death is, where I read in the Bible, where it talks about death, I never read about somebody suffering. And you read about the unsaved and how God's going to make them suffer afterwards and punish them after they actually die. But right at the time of death, the only thing I read in the Scriptures is it's like going to sleep. Matter of fact, it calls it that. It says, and they fell asleep. And that's you read about that, and you read about, it says, and they died, And they died, and he died, and she died. But it says as they were giving up the ghost, that they fell asleep, and they fell asleep. And I believe that's what's going to happen to us whenever we get ready to. If you've ever been around anybody that's actually left their body and went on to be with the Lord, that's exactly what happened. They just fall asleep. Their body falls asleep, and off they go. They fly away. That's good, isn't it? Life triumphant over death. But then we finished that part about life triumphant over what, and then we started another thought about life triumphant through what. Through what? Well, we talked about it being through prayer. We talked about it being through Christ's death. We have life triumphant through Christ's death. And that's what we bank everything on. Our triumph is his death, burial, and resurrection. The gospel of the grace of God. The New Testament. The New Covenant. And Christ's death. If Christ had not died, there could be no shed blood. There could be no payment. No remission. No propitiation. God would not have anything to say, okay, I'm satisfied with the payment. Let them in. It's Christ's death. And he did it for us. And he did it on purpose. And I can't wait to see him and meet him. Can you? Boy, talk about bowing at the Lord's feet. Who would be fool enough not to? Just out of appreciation to bow to the Lord. Can you imagine what it's going to be like the very first time you lay eyes on your Lord, on the Lord Jesus Christ? Isn't it going to be tremendous? I picture showing up in heaven and being there and seeing everybody standing around in their robes and seeing, looking down at myself like Paul did and said, whether in the body or out of the body, I could not tell. But well, we're going to have new bodies, but the righteousness of Christ is going to be on us. And we're going to be standing there, and I'm going to be looking around at everybody else, and I picture everybody standing there and looking at me and smiling and everything else, and then all of a sudden everybody starts peeling back, and they peel back, and then there in front of me, Christ is standing behind all of them, and they all back up, and there he is. And I figure I'm just going to tear out running. Just tear out running, go see my Lord, and bow and those tears of joy, just hold on to him for a little bit, and until somebody pushes me off of him. Amen. We got so much to look forward to, brothers and sisters. I mean, it's just the joy. I was reading something today about joy. Joy is not a work. Joy is not a work. Joy is an experience. Joy is not a work. It's not something that you try to work up and like the charismatics do and soup yourself up. Like it ain't all that trash and all that garbage. That's a bunch of hoopla, a bunch of fleshly stuff. I'm not against getting excited for the Lord. I love getting excited for the Lord. What I'm against is me deceiving myself and thinking that I'm trying to do something fake in front of the Lord. I don't want to ever do that. Do you? I want sincerity and truth with the Lord. I want him as close as he can be to me. And I know you do too. The closer he gets, the sweeter he gets. And we talked about life triumphant through Christ's death. And then one other, the last one that we talked about was life triumphant through doctrine. Through doctrine, remember? And we went through and discussed doctrine and how important it is. And it's very important to you. And it should be. And you should let it be. Because that's where light on, light off is when it comes to the Christian. And when things get people, you know, all these LGBT, whatever it is, I don't even know the title of it. Them five letters that talk about all the perverts, the lesbians and the queers and all of them, and you know, they're running around and up in office and getting office jobs and government jobs and all these jobs that are going to make the rules about who can say what and what can be said and blabbity 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 blab, and it's going to get to where it ain't getting where it already is. All you have to do is just read the news in a spiritual sense and look at the things that are going against Christians. They're trying to shut us up. And they're trying to shut that Bible up. And they're trying to shut the Word of God up altogether. And that's what the battle's going to be as the world moves on into the future. And you can expect that. So that's why it's important for you to know your doctrine. Because you're going to have that to be able to stand. You've got to know your doctrine, have it nailed down, what you believe, who your final authority is, why you believe what you believe, and that you're never going to move off of it, because it's truth. It's truth. And deceit, the world is going to change before your eyes. It already is. It's going to change before your eyes, and the theater of what you see is going to be nothing but deceit. The Bible says, thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. It's all around you. Everywhere you look, it's nothing but a theater of deceit. And you're going to have to be able to have your doctrine in you nailed down so that you know what the Word of God says and you know the truth inside of yourself, in your spirit and in your mind and in your heart, so that when you see deceit, you won't be persuaded in any way or fall out of the way of what is right and be deceived. Because doctrine. Our final authority is the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Ephesians. And our final authority's will is the Word of God, remember? According to John and James. And the Bible says the Word of God is our doctrine. It is our final authority because it is the Word of our Lord. And our doctrine is what we believe to be the truth about what is and what is not. Why do I believe things are false and things are lies? Because my God gave me His Word, and I read it and study it, and I know it to be true, and God the Holy Ghost teaches me that that is false. That that is false. So today, we'll move on into this next one. Excuse me. Didn't mean to cough in your face. You say, well, don't do it again, huh? Okay. Well, here we go. Life triumphant through doctrine. What else? Well, how about life triumphant through God the Holy Ghost? That's what we was just talking about. Life triumphant through the Holy Ghost. The Lord gave us the down payment, of our inheritance, which is God the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ. And He dwells in us, in your body. He's there. And He teaches us, and He comforts us, and He leads us. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 and 2, now we're talking about life. We're talking about a triumphant life. And one part of a triumphant life in a Christian, or for a Christian, is through God the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And you'll notice that's capitalized in your King James Bible, which is talking about a person, talking about God the Holy Ghost. Okay, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Amen. God the Holy Ghost living in me and teaching me the law of the Spirit. I was reading about that today, in Galatians, talking about the law and grace. And now we live under a new law, the law of the Spirit, the law of the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Of sin and death. So God the Holy Ghost teaches us, and He's there to help us and there to encourage us and to help us along and tap us to the left, tap us to the right, and keep us out of the ditch and keep us on the path. And all we have to do is obey Him and listen to Him. And the way that we turn up the volume of His voice is by learning the Word of God. We get the Word of God in us and saturate the Word of God in us, and God the Holy Ghost is able to use that and bring it to our remembrance and teach us the will of God. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, the Bible says, "But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you." Now, that's not saying that you don't have... human beings that teach you. He's talking about the difference of... because Paul said, if you remember, he said, "Follow me and do as I do." And Paul encouraged people to follow him, not as in worshiping him, but follow him as he followed Christ. And that's what we're talking about here. But the anointing is particularly talking about God the Holy Ghost. It's not comparing him to a man. He's just talking about the authority of the Holy Ghost and Him as a teacher for us. "But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie." Just in case you didn't know what truth is, like the world doesn't know what truth is, he put the other part on. He says, "And is truth, and is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him." Ye shall abide in Him. So God the Holy Ghost, life triumphant through God the Holy Ghost. Ephesians chapter 1 even, and verse 13 and 14, the Bible says, "In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit, of promise, which is the earnest," there's that word I was looking for, "which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession," until the Lord raptures us out of here, unto the praise of His glory. So we have life triumphant through God the Holy Ghost. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad that God didn't save us and leave us in this flesh down here in the middle of this chaotic world and getting worse and without help? He gave us Himself, the third person of the Godhead, His Spirit, to dwell in us, God Himself. In spirit, the third person of the Godhead, dwelling in us. God in us. Amen. Hope of glory. Christ in us. Another thing having to do with life triumphant, and we're talking about particularly life triumphant through life triumphant through Christ. Not only God the Holy Ghost, but the second person of the Godhead. We have life triumphant through Christ. The Bible says Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." The Spirit of Christ dwells in us. Christ is in us through God the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ. You see how that Trinity works? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. I can't wait till we get on talking about that Trinity, if we hadn't already, or if you've been through that study yet. But that Trinity is beautiful. God's Trinity is beautiful. It is beautiful. And anything that is real is made up of three. You can see that. You can see that. But I can, the Bible says, "I can." He didn't have to put that in there. Life triumphant through Christ. I can do all things. Now, they ain't talking about go jump off of a building and hope you land on your feet without breaking anything. It's talking about I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Doing the will of God and doing the easy things and the hard things and the things that it takes. And God's will through Christ, which is the main part of the verse, which strengtheneth me. We get our strength through Christ. And if you know anything about living for the Lord and walking with the Lord, you know you don't want to go through any time, not even an hour, without the Lord's strength. The Lord is my strength. He is my strength. Man, when them hard days come and the enemy attacks you and you can't do anything but just stand, and that's all you can do, the Lord is you. That's all you can do is just stand there in the Lord's strength and just wait on the Lord to give you the victory. That's what you do. Because we can't, there's some things that we just cannot fight. We just cannot fight on our own. I mean, majority of things we can't fight on our own. But as we learn and we mature in the Lord, we know we've seen, you can say, I've seen this before. We're not ignorant of His devices, you see. And we know how to battle that. But when them hard things come, and maybe the Lord's putting us through a test to strengthen us or something like that to get us a little stronger. Yeah, man. But we have Christ. Life triumphant through Christ. Christ is the one that strengthens us. Another thing, life triumphant through grace. Through grace. I have never heard anybody say that I wish I hadn't got grace. I wish they hadn't give me grace. I wish there wasn't no such thing as grace. I've never heard anybody say anything negative against grace. Have you? Grace is one of those things that there's nothing bad about it. With exception of the lost that are God-hating, Christ-rejecting idiots that are going to die and go to hell and be punished and cuss Him for the rest of eternity. But that's what the Bible says in Galatians about them fallen from grace. It's not that they ever had grace. It's that they refused the grace. And it's going to be bad. But life triumphant through grace, that's not us. That's not going to be us. We want grace from the Lord, don't we? I've had grace from the Lord. The Lord has been so kind to me. It just, sometimes when the Lord does things for you and shows you His grace and how, I mean, we have grace from Him every single day that we wake up because of who we are and who He is. But other than that, the specific individual times of grace that He bestows on us, life triumphant, we have the victory through grace, because when God shows us that, you can't do anything but be triumphant through it. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 14, 14 and 15, it says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid." You see, the reason that a Christian tries to do right and does right is because he's born again and because he has had grace given to him, not to get it. You don't serve the Lord because you have to. You serve the Lord because you want to now. And we do, don't we? Of course we do. We want to serve the Lord. And anybody that's had God's grace and appreciates it and remembers it wants to serve the Lord because they feel indebted to Him. Not because of my daughter used to have a sticker hanging on her wall that had a capital letter I and then a heart, or no, a capital letter I and then O-W-E and then a letter U. I owe you, Lord. And I never forgot that, because when we think of God's grace, I mean, it makes us feel that we owe the Lord. Not because He's charging us, because He doesn't charge us. It's because His gift is free, and He freely gives to us. God's grace is free. And you can't, how do you, what part of free is unreasonable? There is no such thing as unreasonable free. Well, unless you're one of these kooks running around trying to get everything, because of your rights and because of your being on the minority train, or whatever you want to call it. Life triumphant through grace. When you think of what God has given you and what, how appreciative and how content you are because of Him, that's triumph, man. That's victory. And I'm glad to be able to live like that, aren't you? I'm glad the Lord's taken this wicked, that wicked yoke of the world off of me and put His yoke on me. And His yoke is easy, and His burden is light. If you've ever carried the world's yoke, you know what I'm talking about. Romans chapter 6, we read that. How about Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 7 and 8? The Bible says that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Isn't it wonderful to know that the Scriptures teach us that God wants to be kind to us? The exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. What kind of gift is unreasonable? If it's a gift, how can it be unreasonable? When He gave it to me, I didn't know what it was. When He saved me, I didn't know what it was He gave to me. All I knew is I needed it. And when I went to get it, I didn't even know I got it until afterwards. I don't even know when I was saved. I know the night I was saved, but I don't know the very minute that I was saved. I don't know. I don't know when the Lord woke me up, illuminated me. There are doctrinal words for that, and my old mind ain't working right now. But let's stick to the method. Life triumphant through Christ. Life triumphant through grace. Through grace. The Bible says in Luke, listen to this, in Luke chapter 7, verse 40, there it is. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he saith unto the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Go in peace. And we know that. But talking about the Lord and talking about life triumphant through grace. That woman was appreciative to the Lord. He saved her. And he even admitted that her sins were many. Were many. But he compared it to this fellow that was trying to be a host to him. That was judging him and judging that woman in her in her heart. And the Lord showed the difference in what grace is. And who was really living a triumphant life with grace. He told her, go in peace. Amen. You know, that's what triumph does for us through grace. It gives us peace, doesn't it? The Bible says, great peace have they that love thy law. The Bible also says, there is no peace to the wicked. There is no peace to the wicked. And that's not all. What else? Life triumphant through what? Life triumphant through God's will working in us. You know, you think nothing's going on sometimes in your life. And I heard a saying one time that says, I believe in the sun, even when it's not shining. I believe in love, even when I'm alone. And I believe in God, even when he is silent. There's a lot of truth to that, because there's going to be a lot of times, perhaps even now as you're listening to this, that you're wondering, where are you, Lord? And you can't get any fulfillment, or I don't know how to put it. You know what I'm talking about. That I know you're there, Lord. Sometimes it seems like even when you're walking right and you've examined yourself and everything is right, that it seems as if the Lord's not there. But we have triumph through God's will working in us, and no matter what, our life is not our own. We're bought with a price. It's no longer our will that's being done in our lives. It's the Lord working through us to perform his will. Listen to the scripture in Philippians. Philippians tells us about it. It says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. Let's see, Philippians chapter 2, yeah, and verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both, more than one thing, to will and to do of his good pleasure. So it's God working in you to move you to want to do his will. He's working not only in that part, working in you, but he's also working in you to get you and to convince you that that's what you want to do, is to do his will that he's working in you. You see? So he's not left anything out. But it says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. His good pleasure. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. I'm sorry, I got kind of mixed up there. I had to put you on pause because my cat's over there. She wants to go outside. She's scratching on the door. And I don't know if you heard it in the background, but she goes over and scratches on the door, wanting out. I tried to tell her not to do that whenever I'm whenever we're in Bible study, but she wants out. She wants out. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, the Bible says, "For it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Of His good pleasure. Life's triumphant. Aren't you glad? It's a triumph for us by itself alone that Almighty God, the Creator, our Creator, would take time to work in each of us individually to not only teach us what is right and what is good and what is His pleasure, but to also help us to come along to, and not, He could make us robots if He wanted to. He could say, "Do what I told you to do." You know, bam, you're a robot. Now you do what I told you to do, and you would do what He said. But that's not the way God operates. God, the Lord wants people to love Him and to serve Him and to want to do His good pleasure because He's good. And because we love Him, because He loved us. The Lord wants to be loved also because you want to love Him, not because you have to love Him. He could make us love Him if He wanted to. You don't think that? God could make you do anything He wants you to do. But the Lord is gracious. And He's kind. And He's working in us. And He's working in each of us individually to teach us what His good pleasure is and to work with our will and to also work with our want to. And some of us have a thicker want to than others. But, you know, once we get to finding out how wonderful the Lord is and how terrible and how vile our flesh is, and that the world and the devil are the enemies, and that there is no pleasure in any of this garbage in this sinful, wicked world, and there is no that sin is only good for a season. Once we start figuring these things out and we're able to exercise our senses and start discerning what's right and wrong, but not only knowing what's right and wrong, but start molding ourselves and our person along with God's help in us to His good pleasure and becoming who He's turning us into. And that is the image of Christ. Isn't that good? That is good. Life triumphant through God's will working in us. That's not all. Here's another one. Life triumphant through the return of Christ and hope of resurrection. Christ is in us until our body goes back to the dust, like He said. If the Lord doesn't come, every one of us are going to die. Our bodies are going to die, and they're going to go back to the dust like the Lord said. They're cursed, and they're vile, and they've got to die so that the Lord can resurrect them and change them and give them back to us. Life triumphant through the return of Christ. You know, the majority of the scriptures in the Old Testament and the New Testament, the main theme of the entire Bible, you used to hear old preachers talk about the main theme all the time, but preachers that have gotten into the Laodicean preaching and don't want to offend nobody and preaching for their own belly and their own prosperity and the worldly things, and not all of them. There's preachers still out there that are preaching what God the Holy Ghost instructs them to say and preaching the Word of God. But the ones that ain't, the old preachers used to preach the return of Jesus Christ. And that's the main theme of the scriptures, is the second coming of Christ. There's hardly not any place in the Bible that it's not mentioned the return of Jesus Christ. And that's the main theme of the Scriptures, is Him coming back to get His rightful kingdom and set up His rightful, to get His rightful throne, I want to say, and to sit on David's throne and to rule and to reign and get what's rightfully coming to Him. But we have life triumphant because He's coming back. Now, we're going to be with Him before He does, because we're not going to be here for that tribulation. We're going to be out of here. Some people believe we're going to be here in the middle of it, and I don't know why they would even believe that. I'd be looking for, you call that mid-tribulation and then post-tribulation. Some Christians believe that stuff and believe the Bible teaches it, but it doesn't. It teaches pre-trib. The Lord's going to get us out of here. Why would the Lord teach us to have hope and have this and have that and to believe in Him and to believe in His promises, His comfort, His kindness, His grace and all that, and then leave us here for the terrible tribulation? I don't believe that for a minute. The Bible doesn't teach it. It says He's getting us out of here because there's things in heaven that have to be done during the tribulation, and they can't be done unless we're there. So anyway, the return of Christ, that is a triumph for us and for our life. Life. That's what we're talking about, is life. Remember, what is life? Life. Life triumphant through the return of Christ and hope of resurrection. That God's not going to leave us in the grave. When we die, He's not going to leave our bodies there. He's promised to resurrect them and give them back to us in perfection, holy, and righteous. He's going to change our vile body and fashion it like unto His glorious body. His glorious body. You read about Christ's body after His resurrection, whenever He was talking to the disciples, and He come right through the door, right through the wall there, and appeared. Our new bodies are going to be able to appear and disappear at will. We're going to be able to eat with our new bodies. Travel at the speed of, I don't know what, I ain't never traveled faster than about, I don't know, 100 mile an hour. But some people can say they've traveled 2 and 3. Well, I don't know. I've been in an airplane before, so 500-600 miles an hour, but I didn't have the wind blowing in my hair then. Your face skint back. I couldn't tell how fast that was. But our new body's going to be able to travel I don't even know how to put it. The twinkling of an eye, that fast, because we're going to go up through this heaven, the firmament where the birds fly, then we're going to go through space, the second heaven, where the sun and the moon are, and then we're going to go into the Lord's presence, the third heaven. That's going to have to be pretty fast to get there, to stay there for 7 years and turn around and come all the way back. But we're going to have wonderful, wonderful, wonderful bodies. And life triumphant through the return of Christ. We have triumph because we have a God that is alive, that has done what He has said, that has left us written form record of it, that we can have comfort in and hope in and read and understand what He has done and what His will is, and to comfort ourselves with these words, the Bible says, and wait for His return. And that's what we're waiting on. You got no business to be tied up in that stinking television and the stinking newspaper and the stinking news reports, those lying stinking newscasters and all that stupid stuff that they put out there to scare you to death. You got no business in all that. You ought to have your nose in that book and teaching yourself and allowing God the Holy Ghost teach you the truth and teach you what God says, and waiting on the Lord and being about His business in the body, waiting on the Lord's return. That's what Christians are supposed to be doing and should be doing and ought to be doing and ought to be found doing when the Lord returns. And not only that, but the resurrection. You don't have to worry about dying. You don't have to worry about what's going to happen and whether you're going to have a body or whether this or whether that. The Bible explains every bit of it and gives you hope and gives you triumph and victory over all of that. You don't have to worry about it. That's beautiful, isn't it? Let's look at one more. Life triumphant through what? Well, we've talked about life triumphant through God the Holy Ghost. Life triumphant. I'm talking about life. Life triumphant through Christ. Life triumphant through grace. Life triumphant through God's will working in us. Life triumphant through the return of Christ and hope of resurrection. Listen to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. There's your resurrection. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. With who? With the dead that just came out of the grave. With them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. See, that's why that's not the second coming, because the Lord doesn't come all the way to the earth. That's not the second advent. That's the rapture, because we meet him in the air. At the second advent, the second coming, Christ comes all the way to the earth and sets his feet down on the earth, just like he touched the earth when he came at the first advent as a child. To meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That's triumph, brothers and sisters. That's victory. That's life. Are you getting this about life? What is life? Well, we're learning about the triumphal part of it. I don't know if triumphal is a word, but take it right now. The triumphant part of it. We know what the Bible's talking about concerning life because of the triumph that the Bible's teaching us. What would life be without some kind of triumph in it? I'm glad the Lord has given us victory and that we triumph when it comes to this issue of life, aren't you? And lastly, in this part and this recording today, we're going to talk about life triumphant through faith. That we have something to believe in and to hope in. Not to hope as if we hope that it happens, but hope that we have been given grace to be assured that it's going to happen. Our hope. What's your hope? My hope is that the Lord's coming to get me. Muhammad couldn't say that. Now, all the people that worship Allah and Buddha and all the other fake gods and fake prophets and fake ones that called themselves something, they ain't done anything for their followers. They couldn't do anything for their life and still can't. You know, the only God to have is the one that can keep you from dying and keep you from going to hell. The Bible says, I fear not him which killeth the body, and after that hath no more that he can do, but I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. You got all these weakless, spineless gods that you serve. What good are they? Well, I'll tell you what good they are. They're good because they don't comment on your sin. And when you go out and you misbehave and you go out and show off your wickedness and let your flesh run crazy and everything else, they don't say anything to you. But this God does, because he lives in you. Aren't you glad of that? But life triumphant through faith. We live by faith. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 and 5, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." There's your triumph. "And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? You say, well, doesn't everybody believe that? No, everybody does not believe that. When you're walking around one day, just ask 10 people, just like you're going to do an interview or something. Say, listen, I'm just taking a poll or something like this out of 10 people, and I want to know, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And see how it comes out. I bet you get at least one of them out of there that tells you, absolutely not. I bet you get more than that. There's God haters in this world now, and they're multiplying. And the majority of the population in this life, in this world, is going to end up being like that. Against the Lord. The Lord said, "Wide is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and narrow is the path that leads to life." To life. So, life triumphant through faith. We've been talking today about life triumphant through what? Life triumphant through what? And the subject that we're on, our lesson is about life, but the subject is life, the triumphant Christian. The triumphant Christian. So we're going to stop right there, brothers and sisters, and go into our next next recording. And we're still talking about life triumphant, but we're going to talk about life triumphant for how long? Life triumphant for how long? And then if we have time next recording, we'll talk about life triumphant for whom? Who gets this triumph? Who has it? What's the Bible say? What does God's Word say? Aren't you glad that we have these scriptures, have God's Word, that we can read along with what we're studying to be able to say, okay, that's true. And to believe in, to have something to hope and to believe in. If the Lord had left us here with nothing, without the Word of God, and absolutely nothing, how could we make it? Without knowing His will, and knowing His thoughts, and knowing His mind, and of His good pleasure. We couldn't. Not with this wicked body, and this fleshly mind that we have. It's hard enough to keep my fleshly mind beat down all day long, submitting to the Lord as it is. Isn't it yours? But it gets easier. And we submit to the Lord, and the Lord fights that stuff. But if you get saved early, that's why it's good for people to get saved early, because they don't get all that goop in their mind that they have to filter through. We live 40, 50, and 60 years in sin and sinful things and stack all that stuff in our minds and everything. We have to battle that, don't we? Yeah, we do. But not forever, because we have the victory and we are triumphant. Amen. Let me give you these scriptures. You ready? Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Romans chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. Luke chapter 7, verse 40 through 50. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, and 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. And that's where we're going to stop. So Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Life. Have we figured out what life is yet? What is life? Well, we're sure finding out what the Bible says about it, aren't we? And we're going around the long route, but the long route's beautiful, isn't it? And we're going to really appreciate that when we get to the end of this study and we have seen what the Scripture says in a roundabout way about this issue of life and what life is. And I believe we're all going to come up with the same answer whenever we get to the end. But to specifically say to where you could give a test and say, what is life? Life is bigger than we think it is, isn't it? And it's what it's bigger than what we think it is, isn't it? So we'll continue on in our next study. And I want to remind you that if you want these studies, not only in as we study together on these audios, I have them in written form that go right along. You can set them down in front of you and take your pencil and fill in the blank as we go. And you'll have it all in written form. If you would like to have that, I'd be happy to give it to you. Because then you'd have another way with your eyes and with your hands and with your ears listening. And it just helps. It just helps. But if not, and you're happy and satisfied with the way you're doing it, praise the Lord for that too. But it's available if you want it. And I'd be happy to email it to you. Just email me at barnhouseministries@gmail.com. Okay? Well, the Lord bless you. And it's very good having another Bible study with you and studying God's Word. What a wonderful thing the Lord has given us to be able to do, and that is study together with His Word. You have a wonderful evening, and the Lord bless you. It's Brother Thurman. Bye-bye.